The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Right, first of all, I just want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. Appreciate you taking out the time. Very much appreciated to get together and spend a little time together. You know, the purpose of Jewish history is not to relive the past, but rather to strengthen ourselves in the present and for the future. And I think that that's really what's behind everything that we do. You know, it's nice to celebrate the past. It's, have a little party, and it's an anniversary, but it doesn't really do very much for us. What does is any inspiration that we can draw from the past, chizuk that we can draw, and the benefits that we could take with us into the future. When you think about Hanukkah, what we're really talking about is the survival of Torah mitzvahs. Ramban says that if not for the Chashmonoim, nishtakach Torah mitzvahs miYisrael, Torah and mitzvahs would have been forgotten to Klal Yisrael. Now we know that's an impossibility. The Torah promises us that Klal Yisrael will never cease to exist, and leis yishochach mipizaroi, the Torah will never be forgotten. Ruchi asher olecho udvar asher samti beficho lo yomushu mipicho mipizarecho mipizerazaracho meyato ve'adoilom. Torah will never be forgotten to Klal Yisrael. However, there certainly have been and sometimes continue to be situations which, according to all laws of nature, would we be subject to those laws, Torah mitzvahs should have been forgotten to Klal Yisrael, or Torah mitzvahs are in danger of being forgotten to Klal Yisrael. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us that it's not going to be. But Hanukkah represents that occasion, the occasion of the realization that Torah and mitzvahs were in grave danger. The level of assimilation at the time of the Bayis Sheni was overwhelming. This whole idea of misyavnim, people that were acting like and emulating and dressing like and talking like and naming themselves like the non-Jewish population at the time, or occupiers at the time, was very overwhelming, and it posed, I guess, a great danger. I mentioned recently that when we don't appreciate our own uniqueness, we tend to underestimate who we are, because we've removed the distinction and the barriers between us and Ummah Sa'ilam. That's when we become the most vulnerable to losing our own identity religiously, because we don't have that appreciation of uniqueness. And that was the danger at the time. And it seems it was such a danger that the gzeiros of the Yevonim, that there was no learning Torah and Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Bris Milah and so forth, and the mood of the time portended a dismal future for Torah mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael. And of course, Torah mitzvahs were never to be destroyed, and they didn't, and they weren't, and Baruch Hashem, what happened, the miracles that took place, not just the miracle of the burning of the menorah, which is something that we ostensibly celebrate on the outside, that's the Pirsumei Nisa, that's the Nes that we're most mefarsim, but the miracles that happened were the miracles that allowed for a small group of Kohanim who had, certainly no great powers, al pi derech hateva, over these mighty armies, they were able to overwhelm this superpower, I guess, at the time, and assured the survival of Torah mitzvahs and the Beis HaMikdash for another period of time, a few hundred years. So this is really the lesson that we're trying to learn, is the survival of Torah mitzvahs against all odds. In fact, it's well known that Rabbi Yankov Emden in the Hakdoma to his Siddur swears by his life, that the miracles that have surrounded the survival of Klal Yisrael and Torah throughout the generations are greater than the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. And the little bit that we know about Jewish history certainly confirms that, because it doesn't make an ounce of sense that we're here today, and it doesn't make an ounce of sense that the Torah mitzvahs remain as they were for thousands of years. The same Torah, the same. There's a rabbi, one of the communities in Florida, that told me that he brings a sefer, a chassidish yid, down to his shul every once in a while to check his sifrei Torah. So the sefer told him, yid mitpeyus and everything, says he goes to the Reform Temple also to check the sefer Torah there. So the sefer once asked the Reform rabbi, he says, "Rabbi, why do you need a guy like me to come?" So he says, the rabbi told him, he says, "That Torah is the only genuine thing I have in this temple. I want to make sure that it stays that way, you know." So there's something about it. It survived, even in the places which most ignore it. But the Torah and mitzvahs have survived, and this is what we celebrate. And the lessons that we can learn from here can be very helpful. What is the lesson? What is it all about? It's a very strange comment in the Rambam. The Rambam says that mitzvah Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah chaviva me'oid, very precious. And mitzvah lizoher bo, you have to be very careful to observe pirsumei nisa, to light the Ner Chanukah properly. Lohedia hanes, to make known to everyone the great miracle. There was enough oil to burn for one day, and it burned for 8 days, an amazing miracle. Ulehoisif b'shevach lohedoyo lokeil al hanisim shosolono, and to add praises and thanks to Hashem for the nisim that he did for us. It sounds like the Ner Chanukah is adding to an appreciation of the other nisim. And the question is, what does that mean? The Nes Menorah happened, fine. It should have burned for 1 day, it burned for 8 days. Good. Now besides that, there was a survival of Klal Yisrael, of Torah and Mitzvahs, the Klal Yisrael, that was the victory of the Hashmonoim against all odds. That's another sim. But what does one thing have to do with the other? And it seems that the appreciation of the Ner Chanukah enhances our appreciation of the survival of the Torah mitzvahs. I think it can be understood in a very simple way. The truth of the matter is, the big tumult that we make about Ner Chanukah is a little bit strange, because they went into the Beis HaMikdash, they found one Pach Shemen, and it only burnt. It would have been enough to burn for 1 day, and it burned for 8. Gewalt. What happens if it wouldn't have burnt? Wouldn't have been so terrible. So they tried, They ranusim, they couldn't help. And not only that, we know that if the tzibur is tomei, tumah shehutra b'tzibur, so you're allowed to use shemen that's not tor. So they could have used the tomei dika shemen. What happened? They were able to use the one pach shemen, and it burnt. They weren't potter with an oinus, and they fulfilled the mitzvah in the most preferable way, without relying on Shemen Tomei. So because of the fact that generation was able to in fact fulfill one mitzvah in its most proper form, for that 2,500 years ago, everybody is still 8 days, and Mefarsim Hanes, Pirsumei Nisa, the greatness of the Menorah Gewalt. I mean, what's the big deal? What's the deal? And it seems that what really underlies the appreciation of the Nes of the Menorah is an appreciation for what it means, the privilege to perform a mitzvah. One mitzvah. We could have been excused. We could have done it in a less preferable way. But in fact, it happened in the most preferable way. That's worthy of celebration for thousands of years. That's worthy of the whole Klal Yisrael celebrating and being mefarsim that great Nes, that in fact, that generation was able to perform a mitzvah ketikuno kehiduro in the best way possible. And I think that's the pshat the Rambam says. It's when we're nizer in Pirsumei Nisa on this nes, we're meisif b'shevach v'hoidoyo lokel, then we can appreciate what it means, the survival of Torah mitzvahs. A person who appreciates the privilege of the performance in its most proper form, in its most preferable form, of one mitzvah, can appreciate what it means that Torah mitzvah survived. But if we lack that pirsumei nisa, if we don't get that extra chizuk, in terms of what it means that in fact that generation was able to perform one mitzvah in its most preferable way, then we really are missing something in the appreciation for the survival of Torah mitzvahs. The survival of Torah mitzvahs is not a philosophical, abstract concept. The survival of Torah mitzvahs is not just a Jewish pride or a Jewish identity or a Jewish tradition kind of thing. It's the essence of our lives. And if we appreciate what one mitzvah means, then the survival of Torah mitzvahs means something. But if we lack in that appreciation, then the survival of Torah mitzvahs is just like survival, Jewish survival, like it's talked about today. But without an appreciation of mitzvahs, Jewish survival doesn't mean it. What are we surviving for? Who needs us? They need our brains, maybe, but that they could have even if we weren't Jewish. So it's the survival of Torah mitzvahs. It's a privilege of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's really what the Ner Hanukkah has to inspire us with. I just want to share just one other thought, and I think that's also very pertinent. We tend to be a little bit too focused on the past, and sometimes not focused enough on the future. If you look at the Moedim, where we include the Alanisim, thanking Hashem for all the miracles that took place, and the miracle of Hanukkah, Rabim Ba'amniatim, Tmei Ba'atahirim, the victory of the Chashmonoim, the survival of Torah mitzvahs, that they tried to destroy Torah mitzvahs, and we survived. It's in the context of Noide Lecho Unesapirti Losecho. It's not in the context of Moedim Anachnu Lecho. We thank you for what you did. No. It's a statement of the future. Noide Lecho. We continue. We will always. Noide, we will in the future. Unesapirti Losecho Al Chayenu Am Surim Yodecho Al Shmoy Seiro Ab Kudai Slocho Al Nisecho Shabachol Yemimonu Al Nifloy Secho Vetoy Visecho Hatoiv Kilei Cholu Rachamecho. The Rachamim never ends. V'Hamarachim Kilei Samu Chasodecho. It's eternal. Me'olam Kivinu Lo. Based on that, we can develop this true sense of Bitochon in Hashem, because we see the past, we see everything he done, and we know we will continue to praise him and thank him, because his chesed will continue forevermore, and that's where, in that context, we recite Alanisim. So we're not just thanking him, ooh, the miracle that took place 2,500 years ago, that Torah mitzvah survived that ordeal, but it's a statement of the continued survival and the declaration and the recognition that we trust that Torah mitzvahs will continue to survive forever, ad bias goel tzedek. It's that conviction of not just the appreciation for the past, but the confidence in the future. And to see how important this confidence in the future is, I just want to share with you one thought, which only occurred to me recently. I mentioned it very recently also. But I think it's a very, very important, very significant. We read in last week's parsha about the mitzvah of Gira Noshe. Gira Noshe is that because of the battle that ensued between Yaakov and the Sar of Esav, and the Sar of Esav tapped him in the thigh, and Yaakov barely survived that ordeal. In other words, he was fighting with this malach, and he did survive. He managed to overpower him and to extricate himself from that battle, but it was it was certainly a difficult nisoyan, and it serves for us, the Sefer HaChinuch says, as a reminder for the future generations, that we see just as Yaakov emerged victorious in his battle with the Sar of Esav, so too will the Klal Yisrael emerge victorious from all of the battles and the difficulties and the tests and the challenges of our history, and we will continue to prevail and persevere and ad sof kol hadoros forevermore. But the Chinuch, when he describes it, says it in a very interesting way. He says that the picture that we see, well, every time we don't eat the Gira Noshe, we remember, why am I not eating the Gira Noshe? What's wrong with eating this part of the animal? Ah, because of Yaakov. Yaakov's battle with the Sar of Esav, Yaakov's victory. Hashem help Yaakov. Yaakov's children will continue to be victorious over their enemies throughout the generation. So he says, with the picture of this victory will inspire our bitochon in Hashem, that we will in fact survive. And because of that, he says, the Klal Yisrael will remain firm be'emunosom uvetzidkosom, in their emuna and in their righteousness throughout the generations. It sounds like, in order to maintain our belief that Klal Yisrael and Torah will survive, and our children will continue to flourish in this derech, that we have to first have the bitochon that it's going to happen. Bitochon meaning the trust, the emotional feeling, the not just the knowledge intellectually, the emuna, but I trust it's going to happen. I feel good. I can relax. I can sleep at night. I'm not worried about the future. I have no question about it. It doesn't cause me emotional concern. I have this ultimate menuchas hanefesh because it's all done. It's a done deal. Klal Yisrael survives. And because of that, I can maintain the emuna. Sounds like if that bitochon wouldn't be strengthened through the picture of seeing Yaakov beat the Sar of Esav, then our emuna too would be in danger. Chayrut doesn't make any sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that Klal Yisrael will continue to survive. Says, I promise you, you'll continue to survive. Klal Yisrael will never be destroyed. Torah will never be destroyed from Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael and the Torah will survive eternity. So then what are we worried about? How am I going to lose the Amunah? What's the problem? Even if I get a little shaky, I get a little nervous at night, I can't see it, it seems overwhelming. And if you look at Pidei HaTeva, it looks like it's all over. Jewish education is in derech, and everybody is running in the other direction, and we're all in trouble, and the world, the Jewish world is falling apart, and all the money has been lost, you know, and everything is in danger. Like, so what? But there's a Haftocha. Where's your Emuna? It seems that unless we constantly, with the Gidanosha every day, I don't eat Gidanosha, if we don't constantly strengthen our bitochon, that state of emotional trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not only do I know intellectually it's going to be, but emotionally I feel it, I feel satisfied, I feel at ease, I feel menuchas nefesh, I'm not worried. If we lack in that state, or if we don't strengthen that state, then we stand in danger of losing the basic emuna, which the Torah promised us that we're going to survive. Because when emotionally we don't have that uplift, we don't have that peace of mind, we have that nervousness, we're overwhelmed with the fear for the future, then even the intellectual promise that we know to be true, even that is in danger. And our tzidkis, our shmiras hamitzvahs, our future of Klal Yisrael in its Torah and mitzvahs is in danger when the bitochon in its security is not constantly strengthened. And that's a very powerful type of incentive to work on this bitochon. And I believe that that's what we do every day when we say moedim. When we say moedim, we're not just thanking Hashem for what happened. Noidelecho. It's a statement of bitochon. We will always be thanking you. Al chayenu amsurim biyodecho, because our lives will continue to be saved by you. Val nishmeisenu apkuda yisloch, val nisecho shebechol yoyim imonu, val nifloisecho v'toivisecho shebechol eis. Your hatoiv ki loy cholu rachamecha, your rachamim never ceases. Val marachim ki loy samu chasodecho. And that's why meyodom kivinu loch, and then we say al anisim, and we thank Hashem for the Nes, the Nisim of the Chashmonoim, are the inspiration to the continued trust that Klal Yisrael will continue to survive, Torah will continue to be by Klal Yisrael, and that's something that we emotionally internalize and recognize, that's something we can rely on, we can count on. Now, you got to admit that in a generation such as ours, there's a lot of mixed feelings about this. On the one hand, Baruch Hashem, you know, even after such a terrible churban of the previous generation, this Moistus HaTorah, and there's Koilalim, and there's Yeshivas Ketanus, and day schools all over the world. So Torah seems to be, you know, faring very well. On the other hand, we certainly know that there's such a level of it's almost like somebody said it many years ago about assimilation. But it's almost happening in Jewish education that way. It's like two high-powered trains, running at the highest speeds, passing each other in opposite directions. There's so many people running in the right direction, And yet there's so many people running away in the wrong direction. I mean, we see it. We spent in our neighborhood just last night, just a little bit of a mesiba there, and you see so many just in a period of an hour, kids that are just wandering aimlessly. And wherever you go, I mean, we hear about it all the time. And as much as so many are passionately coming this way, there's unfortunately the other direction as well. And the same thing, we find the levels of assimilation and intermarriage and just disappearance from the, some people now are trying to say that the numbers of the Jewish people are back up to 7 million in the United States, but others say that we're in the fives, you know, so nobody knows for sure, but it certainly doesn't look that, and we know, even if you can be identified as a Jew, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's much of a future, because if it isn't a life of Torah mitzvahs, then if there isn't the appreciation for one mitzvah, then the Torah mitzvahs themselves will not survive. So we live in precarious times. And I think, therefore, it behooves us to not only review the fact that there's a promise that Torah mitzvahs will survive, but to strengthen our bitochen as well. Chanukah strengthens that bitochen against all odds. All odds, it didn't make an ounce of sense that this small little mishpocha, just a handful of warriors that are no sheikhs to battle and to all certainly the clay milchoma and the strategies of milchoma, and yet they were able to drive out such a superpower. It's all hashgocha, it's all siyata d'shmaya, but when we focus on that and we derive strength, and from that strength, we take the bitochen into the future and say it's going to continue. In our generation, we're going to see a tremendous isoirus, and that renaissance of Torah is going to continue to blossom and to flourish and to become more intensive, and the learning is going to become deeper, and the learning is going to become better, and the world is going to become a place more conducive to a life of Torah mitzvahs. And it's that chizuk, I think, that we need in order to remain firm and strong, and it's that the message and the Hallel and the Alanisim of Hanukkah can inspire us with. So I guess we hope that we could all remain inspired. I think your coming here this evening is an inspiration for us in terms of, you know, that we remain connected, we remain supportive of each other in a world, in a life, in moistness of Torah mitzvahs. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless all of us, that we should be zeicha, that we should be able to continue ourselves and future doros in lives of Torah mitzvahs, and that the havtocha of Leisi Shochach Mipizaro, that we should see it in fact be mekuyim in our generation and all the future generations.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.